I have to be sure I get this exactly correct here. Say it again, Mikaelsson.
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 Yeah. You're from Sweden.
Yes, I am.
And how are you living in Pittsburgh now?
No, but for the month I am.
Well, that's
we had a festival.
That's good. What? Where in Sweden do you live?
Well, I actually live in Vienna.
Ah, what an assumption
I've heard of Vienna, Sweden.
But you are you from Sweden originally?
I am from Sweden.
That's what I thought.
Yeah.
And what a great time it must be to live in Vienna, I would imagine.
Yeah. Vienna's good. It's great.
It's a beautiful place. Yeah. And also here we have Michael Ngo.
Kevin Ngo.
Or Kevin Ngo.
Yeah, no problem.
Hang on. I'm going to get it all right. There is no Michael here. It's because your
Michael's
last name.
Son, yeah.
Michael's son. Kevin Ngo is
That's
here.
That's right.
And I'm barely here, but I am. and we're here to talk about the gray cat and the flounder. What can you tell us about the work? I don't know much about it at all.
Well, it's a really fascinating piece, and it's a work that's become very close to the members of the Pittsburgh New Music Ensemble. We call ourselves PNME Theater of Music. This work was commissioned by Joe Newcomer on behalf of his wife, Bernadette Gabriel Callery. They were longtime friends and supporters of our organization, never missed a concert for about 10 years. And sadly, Bernadette was diagnosed with cancer at one point. And when she passed away, Joe came to us and said, I would like to commission a work in her honor. I don't know what kind of piece this would be. I don't have any request in particular. I just want you guys to do something that would honor her life. But we knew that Joe was also an amateur cartoonist, and he had created a series of 4,000 images, if you can imagine such a thing. 4,000 images in a cartoon series that chronicled their life called The Gray Cat and the Flounder. And that picture that you're looking at right there is some of his work. And it shows this couple. Bernadette was the gray cat, and if you know Joe Newcomer, you know he has to be the flounder. Mm-hmm. This series chronicled their lives together and a sort of a limitless imaginatory approach to life. The gray cat and the flounder find themselves at the Sphinx. They find themselves in the Arctic Circle. They find themselves sailing, if you will, on a catamaran. Yes. There are a lot of these kind of puns that really speak to their quirky sense of humor. And so what we've done, we hired a composer, Kieran McMillan, who's amazing and has worked with us many times, and he and I sort of co-wrote this story, which tells about what you can do if you have a limitless imagination and an approach to life, how you can draw the world as you wish it to be. So this story, which does have, I think, a certain amount of sadness in it. I mean, the gray cat does have to pass away at some point, as we all do. It also has a great deal of joy in it, and it's a very, very cute work. And this is our second time doing it. We did it in 2015, and we sold out that production, and we are remounting it this year. I'm playing at City Theater. And then next year, we're actually taking this same show on tour to Edinburgh and playing about 30 performances there in Scotland.
How nice. Yeah, I didn't think you meant Edinburgh, Pennsylvania.
But we
Edinburgh,
could.
You could. But why not?
Sure.
Why not? It's good for ages 7 and older. And what we're going to hear, I think, is first Kevin is going to share some lyrics or words from it, which we'll talk about in a minute because the meter is interesting. And then Oscar and Kevin will perform together. Then we're going to showcase Oscar and some of his fancy work on the keyboard here. So what meter is this in exactly, what you're about to do?
Well, there are various ways of explaining the rhythmic structure of poetry, right? And Dr. Seuss, as you know, is one of our most famous poets of all time in America, and many of his works were set in something called anapestic tetrameter. And the rhythmic gait of that is such that you have this sort of like triplety quality. And so the trick is to write something that is very diverse and at times serious and at times comical. But as you know, Dr. Seuss, the great thing was that he always managed to tell stories with a great sense of humor, but there was a certain amount of poignancy and truth to everything that he was saying. So the trick here was to talk about the little gray cat and the little gray cat's cleverness, because as you know, cats are very clever and
very
curious.
I have a little gray cat. I just realized.
Is that right?
I should have figured this out. Well, she's getting bigger, but I mean, Gracie the cat will really like this.
Oh, excellent. Well, this would be a shout out to her then.
Yes.
So this poem is in fact the flounder talking about how much he admires the gray cat because the gray cat is very clever. Joe's wife, Bernadette, was a botanical librarian, and he thought her organizational skills and her we call them her catalogical skills were really extraordinary. And she was a very, very brilliant woman and super organized. And so this poem kind of immortalizes both her, the quality of her work, and the love that he had just watching her do her craft.
So now you'll get a chance to hear Kevin, as he shares this with us. Go ahead.
Okay, this is called The Little Gray Cat in the style of Dr. Seuss. The little gray cat was exceedingly clever, perhaps the exceedingly cleverest ever. She understood fractions and predicate maths, chemical reactions and sodium baths. She learned about this, then she'd reckon with that, her ease of all grappling attuned as a cat. So when it came time then to choose a vocation, no one was shocked by her musing vexation. She pondered professions in field pharmaceuticals, tenderly tossing aside hermeneuticals. Botanical study had filled her with joy, and that's where she'd first met the floundering boy. But though she loved all things accomplished and artful, her primary passion was books by the cartful. So given her intellect abecedarian, this was her destiny, super librarian. Here she could treat every volume with love, each paper and document handled by glove. She knew every shelf, every corner and nook. She knew how to categorize every book. There wasn't a library known to mankind containing a pamphlet that she couldn't find. She read every journal in wide circulation, and if you had need for some clarification, she'd always be there with the proper citation. Now, the rest of the world wasn't quite so obsessive. Their grasp of minutiae was hardly impressive. It's not that they treated details with derision, it's just they required a lesser precision. Their syntax they'd garble, their grammar they'd mangle. The gray cat could hang from the commas they'd dangle. And so she worked patiently, fixing each letter, a thrill in her heart as she made the world better. But nothing could fill him with greater emotion than flounder around her to share her devotion. His heart swelled with pride when he drew her at work. To him, she was perfect and no common clerk. His brush brushed the canvas with grace and intent, for the next great adventure was theirs to invent. The gray cat would read of new faraway lands, and flounder's fine finmanship met these demands. They embarked on a journey through pencil and rhyme that grew in proportion and color in time, a journal defying identification, whose pages they filled, filling them with elation. But through all of their travels and all of their fun, the thing he saw clearest was she was the one. For he was reminded again and again, in a world filled with sevens, she was a ten.
Ah, that's beautifully done. That is the book available? Is it something people could buy? Because it would be fun to read that.
Well, we'd be happy to make the script available afterwards.
That was Kevin Noe, and this is all in preview. The Gray Cat and the Flounder. You can get more information at PNME.org, PNME.org. It's the Pittsburgh New Music Ensemble and the theater program. What is it called again, officially, the theater?
We call ourselves PNME Theater of Music.
PNME Theater, yeah.
And the reason is because while we do, obviously, we do concert performances in a sense, our productions are beautifully lit. They're staged. Sometimes we play in costumes. Sometimes the musicians also serve as actors and have lines. So there's a lot of theatrical elements to the music that we provide. And we try to put the whole evening together in a way that has both a theatrical flow and a sense of kind of cinematography to it. So it's usually bound by some kind of central theme that puts the whole evening together.
So let's turn to, I have to get this right now again, it's Mikael.
Mikaelson.
Mikael Mikkelsen. I'm going to get it right.
You're going to get it.
A minute after we are no longer together.
Oscar is Swedish. I'm sure he's used to this.
I know he's used to it, but we still need to get better and better. Tell me about yourself. You mentioned that you live in Vienna, but I'm curious about your life and studies.
Well, a life of music, and I'm very happy to be able to do so. And it's a pleasure to be here and back in Pittsburgh. It's actually my first years as officially pianist in the ensemble.
That's great. Now, the two of you together are going to do a song, and this is part of the program. Does it need some explanation before you share it?
Well, briefly, it's the very first piece of music that opens this show called The Gray Cat and the Flounder. And again, I mentioned that it was commissioned by Joe Newcomer on behalf of his wife, Bernadette. Bernadette was, well, they were both big fans of the songs of Stephen Foster. And it turned out on one of her last nights, she asked her husband Joe if he would sing Beautiful Dreamer with her because she really liked that song. So the two of them sang Beautiful Dreamer together. And after she passed away and this work was commissioned, Kieran McMillan, the composer, said, okay, well, clearly Beautiful Dreamer somehow is going to go in this show. I don't know how, but it has to be a part of it. And then he thought, well, if Beautiful Dreamer is going to be in it and they like Stephen Foster songs, maybe I should do some more imaginative settings of different Stephen Foster songs. And he found this beautiful tune called Nell and I. Do you know the tune by chance, Nell and I? Have you ever heard it?
No. Well, I know when you and I – no, that's Maggie. There's a song, Nellie – I don't know.
Nellie Bly, maybe?
Nellie Bly, and I'm thinking Nellie was a lady, which is a different song altogether.
Well, this particular tune, it's interesting because the way it normally goes, if you were to Google Nell and I, you would hear a tune that kind of goes, it's usually played sort of on a banjo, a very up-tempo, and it kind of like this. We parted in the springtime of life, Nell and I, with all our gushing joys in their bloom. Kind of like this.
I don't know that song.
And Kieran reimagined this as this beautiful lyrical ballad, and he changed a few of the notes, and so it's more than an arrangement. It's kind of a setting of a Stephen Foster tune. So anyway, this is called Nell and I. We parted in the springtime of life, Nell and I, with all our gushing joys in their bloom. But now we've met the world's busy strife, Nell and I, and suffered from its dark, chilling gloom. Yet my heart will sigh for those days gone by that flow in my memory's sweet refrain. Parted in the springtime of life, Nell and I, and I'll never see her bright smiles again. We made our little huts on the shore, Nell and I, and covered them with bright colored shells. We gathered moss and fern from the moor, Nell and I, and plucked the dewy flowers from the dells. But the days rolled round and the rude world frowned as time with its bitter cares fled on. We left our little huts on the shore, Nell and I, and we left our brightest hopes in their dawn. And on the years went by, we built a world
just Nell and I. With her in time, I learned to fly. We wandered by the bright running streams, Nell and I, and gambolled o'er the wide grassy lawn. We met again in light sportive dreams, Nell and I, when the weary hours of twilight had gone, and our hearts proved true, till a coldness grew. 'Twas caused by some unrelenting foe. We'll roam upon the lawn nevermore, Nell and I, nor wonder where the bright rivers flow.
How beautiful. That is from the work that you've got a little bit of advance notice here to make sure you see the Pittsburgh New Music Ensemble's production of The Gray Cat and the Flounder, July 27th and July 28th at City Theater. And Oscar, you want to show off a little bit?
Sure. No, actually, you know, as children, communication is one of the most important things in this planet, actually. I have thought up a little tune from Sweden. It's a children's song, and it's both mythical and scary and very sweet at the same time.
Here, pianist, pardon my cough there, Oscar Mikkelsen, in whatever you're ready, let her rip.
Yeah, thank you.
Beautifully done. Thank you both for being here today.
Pleasure.
And anything else you'd like to mention about the show?
I just want to say again, it's called The Gray Cat and the Flounder. It's at City Theater on the South Side, and we play on Friday, July 27th at 8 p.m. We play on Saturday, July 28th at 8 p.m. And then we also have a special children's matinee show that we're doing on Saturday the 28th at 1 p.m., and that is free for both the kids and the families. I would say if you're interested, probably go to our website, www.pnme.org. It stands for Pittsburgh New Music Ensemble, and you can make arrangements to reserve your tickets now. The show did sell out in the past, so we'd encourage people to go early.
Excellent. Thanks to you both for being here today.
Thank you.